Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Let us pray. God, our Father, what surpassing grace you have shown us in your Son. We do come with thanksgiving today. We want to express our gratitude to you now by our attentiveness to your word and our receptiveness to what you're saying to us. Use it to create more generosity, the generosity of Christ in us. For we pray in his name, amen. Well, today I'm continuing our October series of sermons on the theme of generosity, especially as it relates to our stewardship of money and possessions. So far, we've seen that generosity is a form of worship. It's a way of acknowledging that all that we are and all that we have belong to God. So when we give to the work of God through our church, we're acknowledging the sovereignty of God in our lives and in the world. We're expressing our heartfelt devotion to the Lord, and our allegiance to God is the only one who can really give life, the only one who can save, the God who creates, God who redeems, God who reigns. That's part of what we're doing through our giving. We're worshiping. Generosity is a form of worship. Secondly, we've seen that generosity is an expression of faith. Our faithful giving is one of the ways that we demonstrate our dependence on God. That is, through your financial gifts, you're expressing your confidence in God that as he's promised, he'll provide for you, that you can rely upon him, that he loves you, that he sustains you, that you'll have what you need in terms of the basic needs of daily life. You're living out your trust in God, who will provide for you by your financial giving. So we've seen that generosity is a form of worship. We've seen that it's an expression of faith. And today we come to our next scripture passage from one of Paul's letters to the church in Corinth. And at this point in the letter, Paul's sort of in the business of promoting his own stewardship campaign, not to fund the church's budget, not necessarily to repair the broken boiler, but to provide for the needs of impoverished Christians in Jerusalem. He's been working on this project for quite a while now. And at first, the Corinthians jumped at the opportunity to participate. They responded with enthusiasm, with energy. But over time, their energy has waned and their generosity has virtually dried up. So part of what Paul is doing at this point in his letter, he's trying to reignite some of their passion for this project. In other words, he basically wants them to finish what they started in terms of their giving to this project for the impoverished Christians in Jerusalem. And one of the ways that Paul tries to persuade the Corinthians to make their donation is by reminding them that God provides for them so that they can provide for others. God provides for them so that they can provide for others. And God certainly hasn't been stingy with the Corinthians. On the contrary, we're told that his grace has been abundant and generous among them. So it's fitting that their gifts, like God's gifts to them, their gifts should be given generously, not reluctantly, not with great hesitation, not grudgingly. And that's when Paul pulls out a little piece of scripture from his own memory to remind them, you know, God loves a cheerful giver. There's a story told about a lady who was in church one day with her granddaughter, and she gave her granddaughter a dollar bill and a quarter. And she said, now when time comes for the offering, you can go ahead and give either one of these that you want. I'll leave the choice up to you. So after the service, they were driving back home, and she asked the little girl, well, what did you decide to give? And she said, well, the man behind the pulpit said that God loves a cheerful giver. So I went ahead and put the quarter in because I figured that if I put the dollar in, I wouldn't be as cheerful. Thank you. That's not really what Paul had in mind. If the offering plate there in Corinth had been full of just quarters, I doubt that would have met Paul's definition of abundance, of generosity. After all, he does say to the Corinthians, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And then a couple of verses later, he says, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Notice how Paul uses a potent little phrase in both of those verses, so that. It's small, but it accomplishes a lot in what he says here to them. God will make grace abound to you so that you'll abound in every good work. You'll be made rich so that you could be generous. If the so that weren't in the text, then these gifts from expression of God's grace would just sort of stop right with us and remain with us right here where we are. They couldn't flow on from us and go on further. These gifts would be used just exclusively for our benefit and our needs in a way. If that so that weren't in there, that moves the gifts along from us to others who need them as well. But that's not how God intends things to work, says Paul. God isn't giving us these things so that we can keep them where they are right here with us. He's giving us these things also so that we can be a channel through which these gifts get to others too. Paul says, God isn't remaking us in the image of Christ so that we can simply be receivers. We're being remade in the image of the Son so that we can be givers. And through our giving, Paul says, we participate in God's own giving. After all, God is the source of life. God is the source of blessing. God is the source of gifts that we experience through Christ. Remember part of what he says in our scripture passage today. God is he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. God is the one who, quote, will also supply and increase your store of seed. God is the one who will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Whatever resources we have in order to pursue righteousness and justice and peace in God's world, these things come from God, he says, not from us. God is the primary giver. We're just the recipients of his favor and his beneficence and his goodness. We don't deserve his grace, but he has generously given us himself abundantly in Christ. And this divine grace, he says, fulfills its purpose and finds its fruition. This grace of God in Christ fulfills its purpose and finds its fruition when it flows through us to others. In other words, when we're genuinely receiving the grace of God in Christ, we'll be channels of the goodness of God and the generosity of God as gifts flow through us to others. God doesn't just want us to flourish. He wants others to flourish. And one of the primary ways that he accomplishes that purpose is by having his blessings, including financial and material blessings, flow through us to help others too, to pass through us on their way to others. I sort of like the way that one author named Miroslav Wolf has put it in a book he's written called Free of Charge. And in his book, he talks about how God gives and how we should give, and in particular, how we're created by God to share with others. This is what he says: to the extent that we are channels of God's gifts, we can't just do with them as we please. They come to us with an ultimate name and address other than our own, though in our hands, they are on their way somewhere else. These resources that we have by God's grace in Christ, many of them have an address and a name beyond ourselves, and they don't get to us from God so that they can just stay put here with us, but can flow through us to others. In other words, God has made us to be channels of his gift giving, to be channels of his own gift giving. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't draw upon and benefit from many of these gifts. It could be material sustenance like food and clothing or shelter or money to pay the bills, or it could be something that's not as material like ideas and skills or a particular passion, or it could be other capacities you have like physical strength or health or these kinds of things. We can enjoy these gifts and we can benefit from these gifts and draw upon them even as we're working at sharing them with one another and sharing them with others beyond ourselves too, like we saw in last Sunday's scripture passage. God is aware of and responsive to your basic needs. You can count on his promise to provide for you. But his provision for you day by day, and his provision for me day by day, and his provision for our church day by day is just part of his bigger picture of his provision for the whole world and all who are in it, for all that he has made. In our scripture passage today, Paul wants the folks at the church in Corinth to remember that whatever their level of abundance, whether it's great or whether it's small, what they have has been given to them by God in Christ. And it's not intended just to stay right there with them where they are. A lot of it, he says, is actually intended for these poor brothers and sisters in Christ in Jerusalem. And God wants to use you as the channel to help get it to them. God is a gift giver. And by our giving, we participate in the giving of God. And so by not giving as they should, the Corinthians, Paul fears, are actually holding up or blocking the flow of God's giving into the world and God's giving to others. They're not being the channel through which God's gifts can flow the way that he intends them to be. There's a man named Bill O'Brien. He talks about a visit that he and some others made a few years ago to the city of Nanjing in China. And while they were there, they visited several different churches. One of the ladies who was part of their group was an elderly lady originally from China. She was now a resident of Los Angeles. And she visited one of the cities on the other side of the river, went to their worship service. It was a congregation of about 900 folks. Most of them were poor farmers. She got up and talked some about their church there in Los Angeles, how the Lord had blessed their congregation with lots of new believers, how they were adding on an additional wing to the building. And then she went back and sat in her seat for the rest of the service, thought she was finished. Till the end of the service, when the pastor asked her to come back up and said, "We just rejoice in your testimony. that you shared with us. And we want you to have all of today's offering. It was $140 to take back to what God was doing there in Los Angeles as well. You see, when their overflowing joy welled up in generosity, they gave in a way beyond their capacity, or what looked like their capacity. They gave beyond their ability. And isn't that part of the nature of grace? It goes beyond human capability. It goes beyond what seems reasonable. It goes beyond what looks like is fair. It goes beyond what's really deserved. In fact, grace actually offers what's undeserved. Grace gives what's totally unmerited. And that's part of why Paul told the Corinthians in the last chapter, as we need to hear again today, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. That's the grace in which they and we stand. The grace we have in Jesus Christ. And as God's people in Christ, I think that we need to regularly come back to this big story of God's grace. That's what Paul is trying to do here. Take this specific issue of their participation in this particular offering and put it in the bigger picture of God's grace and mercy. We need to remember that the Lord's grace really is what gives us what we have, what makes us what we are. So we need to be on guard, I think, against our tendency to hinder the expansion of God's grace as it try to make its way to others. I like the way that Miroslav Volf puts it again when he says, "Things I am given are not just mine. Even if they're in my hands, some of them belong to my neighbors in need. I have an obligation to pass them on. If I block the flow of God's gifts, I have just failed the giving God. And I've also failed the intended recipients. They have a right to the gifts, and I have an obligation to give." Your generosity with what God has given you in Christ is a channel for the flow of God's grace into the world and into the lives of others as he wants to send it to us and through us and beyond us. And if we take what's in the offering plate, I think, and trace it back to its source, we'll see. What's there in the offering plate, it doesn't really just begin with what you and I have earned or worked for or inherited or been given and then decided to place in the offering plate. That's part of it. That's in a way where it begins. But if we really want to know where it actually fully begins, we've got to go further back beyond and behind that. We've got to go beyond and behind what we've done. We've got to go back to what God has done for us in Christ. We have to go back to what Paul in the last verse of today's text calls God's indescribable gift. Indescribable gift. Now, part of that indescribable gift was certainly the money that the Corinthians were going to send to the impoverished Christians in Jerusalem. But most of all, behind that money was Jesus Christ himself, because he is God's most important, most extravagant gift. Praise, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift in Christ. That's because giving has its origin in God, not so much in us. Giving has its origin in God. Giving has its purpose and its destination in God. And that's because in Christ, God's life-giving generosity flows to us. In Christ, God's life-giving generosity flows to us works in us and through us to create generosity in us and then flows back to God in the form of thanks. That's the flow of grace, says Paul. That's the flow of grace, as Paul says. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. In other words, when the impoverished Christians in Jerusalem receive these gifts from the Corinthians, they'll not only give thanks to the Corinthians, they'll give thanks to God. And this flow of grace is made complete in a way. Grace to us in Christ. Grace that works in us to make us more generous. And then flows back to God in the form of praise and thanks. Isn't that marvelous? The way that God's grace works in Christ in our lives. This flow of grace from God and eventually back to God never stops. That's why you're here to worship God today. That's why you're here with me to sing and to pray and to preach. That's why you place your gifts in the offering plate, sowing generously with a cheerful heart. You give because you're giving, your generosity is an act of worship. You give because your generosity is an expression of faith, of your dependence on God to provide for you. You give generously, and you give out of generosity because it's a channel for the flow of God's goodness through us, especially to others in need. You give. You give because generosity, says Paul, not only helps provide for us and provide for others, you give most of all because generosity brings glory to God. It brings glory to God. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift in Christ. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Generous and giving God, you've come to us with undeserved grace in Christ. Thank you for him, your indescribable gift. Thank you for your grace at work in our lives to make us more generous, and for how that grace is flowing back to you in the form of praise and thanks. Help us individually and as a church to be faithful channels for the flow of your giving into the world and the passage of your grace into our lives and into the lives of others, so that grace abounds in more and more and more thanksgiving and praise to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.